Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Day, I guess I want to start today. You're running, of course, against Nita Lowey in the 17th District as a Republican. I wanted to ask you some questions so people could sort of take your political temperature. Rob Estorino, who, as you know, is the county exec, he's running against Andrew Cuomo and running behind in the polls right now, although I do think it's getting a little closer. But I guess I want to ask you, because I think one of the Estorino mistakes is some of his social positions in terms of winning. So tell me about your views on abortion.
Well, you know, my personal religious views aside, I'm not going to do anything to change existing law. You know, the court decisions are court decisions, and I don't believe in affecting the laws written. Personally, I think that we can all agree that some of the latest term abortions, partial birth abortions, are something that we need to restrict. But other than that, I think that as a society, despite our personal religious views or views on when life begins, it's best to have it be, you know, available and safe for women who choose to go that route.
So just to clarify this so that I get it, you said you're not going to talk about your own personal views on this. You don't think we should change the law. The law should remain so that women are safe.
Yeah.
But would it be inappropriate to ask you your personal views on the abortion question?
You know, religiously speaking, I tend to be more pro-life, but that's not how I would apply it in governance. You know, my personal views are my personal views, and I think that most people on both sides of the spectrum have been comfortable with the fact that they know that where my heart is and where where my beliefs are in terms of what the government should be doing. You know, I believe a lot of things personally about how to do things, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I think the government should be telling everyone to do them the exact same way. We have individual choice in this country, and you know, that's an important thing.
So let me go to some of the other hot-button issues. Have you thought about fracking at all?
Yeah, you know, I don't want fracking. I certainly don't want it near any population centers. I think that the EPA needs to be wholly empowered in order to ensure that if any new technology, whether it's to extract resources, whether it's fracking or something else, fracking wasn't on the radar 10 years ago. They need to be empowered to properly review it. I'm very concerned that there are certain aspects of fracking that are not being appropriately reviewed by the EPA, particularly regarding the wastewater runoff, and there's been exemptions passed. I love the environment. My kid plays in parks. I like having clean air, and I want to make sure that we have it there for him and his children. And I'm not going to do anything that would damage the environment for either me or my neighbors or anyone in this country.
You, of course, served in the armed forces, ended your career in the Army as a captain, and you were in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Did we make a mistake going into Iraq?
Yeah, you know, we did. My opponent voted for it. I didn't get to decide. I was sent. As it turns out, and, you know, I'm not going to get into the political debates of the time as to whether there was lies or mistakes. The point is that it didn't turn out to be the place we should have gone. And once there's that old saying, you break it, you bought it, and that's what we kind of found ourselves in by the time I was getting sent over there. And we did our best as soldiers to fight out and pacify the area and set them on the path to success. It doesn't unfortunately look like they're on that path right now based on the situation with ISIS. But, it certainly was not the right call to go into Iraq.
So what should we be doing with ISIS right now?
You know, 6 months ago I was talking, when this first started happening, or 6 to 8 months by now, that the time then was for close air support in support of the Iraqi army and Kurdish Peshmerga as ISIS was starting to expand in Iraq. I served direct in Tal Afar, which is the direct center of where this all started to occur. As an infantryman, I know that if you're fighting in an offensive force who is well-motivated and well-equipped, you need air power to stop them. And we didn't provide that when we had the moment to do it because there was a lack of decisiveness and a fear, I think, that the country's called Iraq, and heaven forbid we protect our interests because of fear of political repercussions. So time passed, and now we find ourselves in a situation where even General Dempsey, of President Obama's own general, is saying they need 15,000 ground troops that simply don't seem to be there. And we have not yet. Our airstrikes are at high altitude and using drones and high-altitude bombers, which is not appropriate for this sort of conflict. We need to immediately equip the Kurdish fighters who are our last best chance. They're the most motivated and well-trained fighters. They just don't have the right equipment. They're fighting against our own Humvees and machine guns and up-armored vehicles.
Won't that alienate the Turks?
You know what? At this point, I don't really mind. The Turks are going to have to trust us as NATO allies, that we're not going to let any of their separatists deal with that or go after them. This is the Turks need to realize that ISIS is a threat to them too, more so than a well-armed Kurdish state or Kurdish tribal region. The Kurds have been peaceful in Iraq. They've kept the peace during the war, and given the expansive nature of ISIS and the desire to increase their territory, we need to choose the best of the available options. And in this case, the Kurdish military, the paramilitary, is the best option, and they just need to be able to fight back. So we need to, I just don't like the way that things are being discussed. Oh, we're not going to have boots on the ground. We already have boots on the ground. A division headquarters being deployed. We have special forces down there. We have combat air controllers. To pretend that we're not actually involved in this with troops being in danger. You know, if you're an American soldier, doesn't matter if you're called a military advisor like they were in the 50s in Vietnam, or if you're called a combat troop, if you get shot at, you're going to shoot back. And I think we need to stop trying to spin this one way or the other and just deal in hard truths.
Talk to me about Ebola. We only have a couple of minutes here, but there are all kinds of people making all kinds of suggestions, you know, to stop the airlines from flying back and forth to some of these African nations, quarantine them. And what do you think we ought to do?
You know, first of all, I think it's important that everyone, you know, try not to let everything run away in the way they think about this. It's obviously something that is very frightening for everyone. We need to stay calm about it. That said, we've kind of been in tears being exposed to the government telling us things that turn out to not be true. You know, it's not going to spread beyond Africa in terms of in America. We've got this one case, and that's it. It's more multiple cases. The fact that we're waiting still to have a coherent response is the biggest concern that I have. We should not have planes flying to and from the most affected countries. And those in countries around there should be going through a quarantine period before and or after, depending on when the most efficient way of implementing it is, their flights. To let someone off with a questionnaire and a thermometer check when we know that the incubation period of the virus is is longer than that is irresponsible. And the CDC should be looking at a coherent strategy for the entire country and potentially centralizing patients, because, you know, with the nature of air travel, the nature of this country, with everyone just going in their own directions, it's going to be very difficult to deal with at every isolated hospital where it comes up. I'm just concerned that we're getting a lot of everything's going to be okay and pats on the head, and not a lot of actual coherent action on it.
That's New York congressional candidate Chris Day. He's a Republican. He's running in the 17th district against Nita Lowey. Chris, thank you very much for your time with us.
Thank you for having me.